Hello, this is Pastor Cal Hampton. I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to listen to our Second Mile podcast. It is my prayer that the Spirit of God might just enliven your spirit so that you might get a word from heaven today. And as always, you have an invite to come and worship with us down here at Second Mile Church on 804 Riverside Drive in Clarksville. May the Lord bless you. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Scott, for that, brother. Warm welcome. And I really appreciate the opportunity to be here this morning. I've already had church once in the war room in the back here with the deacons there, a time of prayer. And as Scott had mentioned, my dear friend James Britt, and to many of you know him, it was an honor to be there and to be on that podium that morning. As Scott had mentioned, I am still a highway patrolman. I surrendered to preach back in July. I've been a deacon at Yellow Creek for over 10 years now. And I greatly appreciate Brother Kyle's giving me the opportunity to stand this morning before you. And I hope it is a blessing to you. And amens are free and hallelujahs are extra credit, so let's have a good time in the Lord. I know y'all said about 5 till, but for a Baptist, it's hard to make it. I'm going to work at it for Sunday school and honor your time, okay? I always like to start with a little humor to lighten the mood. There's a young fellow that came to the preacher at the end of service, dug way down deep in his pocket and pulled out that quarter and wanted to put it in his hand. And he said, "Oh, young man, you need to put that in the offering plate." He said, "No, sir." He said, "I was standing in the back, and two of them deacons back there said, 'You're one of the poorest preachers we've ever had here in a long time. So I wanted to give it to you directly.' So I hope I'm not that poor this morning for you. And maybe I can come back a time or two. This morning I'll be in Philippians 2, chapter 2, verses 6 through 11. I believe I told brother 6 through 10, but we'll go through 11. Philippians 2, 6 through 11. It's great to hear the turning of pages of God's holy word. I'll read that, and then we'll pray and move in. Philippians 2, 6 through 11. I'll be in the King James this morning. Should be on your screen there. Amen. "Who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in the fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Therefore God has also highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." Amen. Amen. Pray with me if you would. Lord, I thank you for today. Today that's set apart for you. Thank you for your holy word. Lord, thank you for the opportunity again to come into your house as we've seeing our brothers and sisters from distant lands on the screen this morning. Let us never take it for granted that we live in the greatest country on earth, Lord. It's still the greatest nation, Lord, and we thank you for it, for our freedoms to come. We pray for those preachers this morning that's in hiding, in hidden churches, Lord, that have just a small piece of your word. And Lord, we have Bibles stacked throughout our house that we often not open. Heaven help. Lord, we thank you for sending your son for the ultimate supreme gift to make the way to heaven, Lord. Lord, we thank you for this time. And again, I pray for the Holy Spirit to move about this place. There'd be one here lost, that they'd know that they're amongst friends this morning. We would all celebrate as the angels would stop and celebrate to have one more written in the Lamb's Book of Life. One more that the devil wouldn't claim, Lord. Lord, I pray again to the heart would be pricked this morning in this message, Lord, what to do with Jesus. Lord, we all must ask ourselves that. And I pray that man, woman, boy, or girl would ask that this morning and answer it. As eternity depends on him. Lord, fill me with your spirit now. Let the cup overflow. Thank you for allowing me to preach your word, for standing behind your sacred desk, Lord. Help your preacher now. Forgive me of our sins and our sins. Lord, we love you and give all your son the praise and honor and glory. I pray for your pastors and preachers across this globe that your son's name will be glorified this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, church. Today in churches across the globe, millions of Christians gather together to serve God on a day as I pray that is set apart for him, as the word tells us in the Ten Commandments. We read the words that I read to you of Paul's writing in our text this morning, of Jesus, the one who is the servant that left heaven, the splendors and glories of it, to come to earth in the form of man and was obedient unto death, the death of the cross. The cross, church, is where the Lamb of God, as John would say, behold, cometh the Lamb of God, one that I am not worthy to loosen his shoes. That was a very lowly state to handle someone's feet. And as Jesus would give the example of washing of feet, John said, I'm not worthy to even unbuckle his sandals. The cross, church, is a beautiful thing. We wear it on our lapels, wear it on our necklaces, on jewelry. It's a pretty sight, but it wasn't pretty for the King of Kings to lay his life down on, or other men that were crucified. The cross is the bridge. The bridge, we often look at it upright, but it is the bridge for mankind to enter into God's kingdom by God's sweet grace to send his only begotten Son, to give an opportunity and a knock on your heart's door. And again, it is up to us what to do with Jesus, the free gift that is presented to us. It is through his precious blood of the Lamb. My daughter is deep in her Bible study, and I said, honey, you have to. The Old Testament and New Testament reveal themselves and mirror each other at times. I said, the sacred lamb, the sacred animal, the cattle, whatever it may be, sprinkled on the mercy seat. Jesus was the perfect lamb, that perfect sacrifice. For without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. We are so thankful for that precious blood that was spread for us. The one who created earth, his blood will drop onto it from the cross. And through him, we may receive the free pardon of sin. We must all come to look again at the cross and ask ourselves about the man, the God, Jesus. As we approach Easter, it's a special time of year for Christians. You'll probably have to get out folding chairs this time, and Christmas time is normally the two staples, it's sad to say, that people will come. And I appreciate all of you making a point to be here this morning. But Easter is a very special time, as the tomb is empty, amen? As the foot race to the tomb to see if he had did what he said he would do. And it was empty, and we're so thankful for that. Today we hear some determining words from some texts that I'll be moving forward with. For some words that are haunting words for people of, again, what to do with Jesus. Some words that everyone must ask. I'll be in the four Gospels, as you know, very familiar with that. In the account of Matthew, in the book of Matthew, chapter 27, 22, you can just note it down. He would ask the question of a man standing there named Pilate, Pontius Pilate the governor. As you would know, the Pharisees would arrest Jesus, bring him there after his betrayal. And at this point, he would stand there, already beaten and scourged, standing in a purple robe, color of royalty, with a crown of thorns, been poked and prodded, beard plucked out. Who's striking you, Jesus? If you're God, tell us. Who's poking you? Who's mocking you? You're God. You are the King of the Jews. And here he stands with Pontius Pilate. In Matthew 27, 22, he would ask the question, what shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? It's a chilling scene We can only imagine in our mind's eye, again, the Holy Lamb of God standing there on a mock trial, following his betrayal and arrest, hope to be put to death. But as you know, many of you know, that Pilate was willing to release a prisoner, as was the custom. The crowd called out to release of Barabbas, an evil man, a robber. And in the Gospel of John, chapter 19, again, Jesus was there in the judgment hall with his robe of purple. And Pilate explains to the angry crowd, "I find no fault in him." Pilate knew that there was something different about Jesus. This was not an everyday day of court in the judgment hall. In another chilling moment, Pilate and Jesus are standing there in verse 9 of John 18. Pilate asks, "Whence thou? Whence art thou? Who are you? Where are you from? You're not just a normal man." But Jesus gave him no answer. Pilate surely had an idea, again, that this was no ordinary man. And in verse 10, he would go on to say, "Speakest thou unto me? Knowest thou not that I have the power to crucify thee or to release thee?" Jesus would answer in verse 11, "Thou couldest have no power at all against me, except it were given from thee from above. Therefore, he that delivereth me unto thee hath the greater sin." As Jesus and Pilate stand there, and the cry from the crowd is, "Let him be crucified. Let him be crucified. Let his blood lay on our children," as some of the other text says. "We will take it. Let him be crucified." And Pilate asked, "Why? What evil has he done?" They again cried, "Let him be crucified." The wife of Pilate gives him some great wisdom. Men, you need to pay attention to your spouse and what she tells you. And she told Pilate, "Have nothing to do with this just man. I've had a dream. And you should leave him be." Saying, Pilate, as you know, would take the basin and wash his hands with water, as in a sense to say, "I'm innocent of his blood, of this just person." But then he closes with, "See ye to it." Jesus, the Son of God, who was fully God and fully man, who walked on the shores of Galilee, performed all of the miracles, who was baptized in the Jordan River, who fed 5,000 off a little boy's sack lunch, who healed the blind man, who consoled an adulterous woman, who wept and raised a dead man in Lazarus, and many others. Jesus, who came to earth and was tempted just as we are. At Yellow Creek, at times, we have fasting for 20 days on the Daniel fast, or from your phone, from Facebook, from Diet Coke is what I always went with. Coffee's too hard, man. That's really extreme. But it's at times that old belly gets to roaming and it's hard to pass a McDonald's, you know, and got 99 cents this or that, and you eating on lettuce leaves and celery sticks. They only go so far. But it's not about the diet or the calories. It's about the focus. I encourage any of you that's going through a struggle to consider a fast. It's performed and through faith miracles in my own family's life and many other that I know. But Jesus was tempted. Right after his baptism, would go into the wilderness to be tempted. "Cast yourself down. Your angels will catch you." The devil's there to tempt us. As I say, he totes his tackle box with him. He knows what lure that we like to nibble on, what attracts us, what draws us away, just like a bass or a catfish. Whatever, he knows what entices each and every one of us, whether it be pride, lust, not just of the flesh, but of our money. The list goes on and on, materialism, whatever the case may be. But he also told Jesus, You got to be hungry at this point. Take those stones and make them bread. But man cannot live by bread alone, but by the word of God, as Jesus would tell him. Again, Jesus would weep, the perfect, sinless man. It's written in Hebrews 4:15, for we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted, like as we are, yet without sin. Church, he would be whipped with a cat of nine tails. Again, have his beard plucked out. Struck, I have a crown of thorns at home that I meant to bring just to give you a picture of what it would look like. All to cover and pay the sin debt of man, the entire world, for the one that's in Riverbend Prison, wherever he may be, other institutions, whatever heinous crime that you can only imagine in your mind's eye, Jesus, if that man would repent and be saved, Jesus has covered the cost. Amen. Amen. And lost friend, as I move forward here in this message, I would ask you this morning, what would you do with Jesus? Your eternity depends on it. Some believe that there is another way of heaven. Celebrities believe this or that. Good deeds will get you there. How much money that I do put, what you should give your tithe and offering. Let us not put our works. At least any man should boast, look what I did when I get to heaven. That's not the way it's going to be. For by faith are you saved through grace, not of yourselves. Amen. Some believe that there's another way, but Jesus said in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto my Father but by me. Again, consider Jesus this morning. Jesus said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find good pasture. You have the good pasture in your life, only those that are saved and have the Holy Spirit dwelling within them know when the storms of life come. As I tell my daughter and my son, life is going to happen. The wind and storms of life are going to come. Sometimes we lose our friends, we lose loved ones. And death never sends us a letter in the mail. I'll be coming to see you in a week. I'll come and see you tomorrow. He never gives us that notice. As you worked with Eubanks Paving so many times, and the rough road ahead sign is flashing. Life doesn't tell us. Rough road ahead. Shane, you're going to be going to the doctor in a few weeks, and you're not expecting it. This is going to happen. Financial storm is coming, whatever the case may be. But friend, if you're in the good pasture, you know that your head in the cleft of the rock in that dwelling place. Amen. No matter what storm comes, you hold to your faith. Jesus, again, is God's supreme gift. Friend, please understand that Jesus died for you and that Jesus loves you. It's written in the golden text of the Bible. And I always look for the flag. And man, I'm a sports fan. And oftentimes we stand as we should, and honor the flag. But it's just another thing to go through, to say our national anthem, where they can throw out that first pitch. I know there's some Cardinals fans in here, some good people in here, I'm sure. Or drop the puck, or kick off that ball. And we can enjoy our $15 hot dog. But oftentimes we go through scripture like that. John 3:16 is probably the most famous known text in the Bible. Some may not know it other than on a football player's face of just those four letters and three numbers. For God so loved the world. That's a lot of love if you think about all the meanness in the world. You don't have to leave Clarksville to find that you need to lock your door. Better check it twice. We don't live in the same society as we once did. Meanness is all around. The devil's having his way with it. We lived in a mixed up society. Heaven help. That he gave his only begotten son. That whosoever, red, yellow, black, or white, rich, poor, from the penthouse to the ghetto, wherever you may be, that you can accept Jesus Christ today. And he died for you. Amen. In him should not perish. There is a place called hell, friend. It's not meant for you, but the devil and his angels. Hell is real, as the rich man crieth from it. In John 16, send my brothers to warn them. But no, you have Moses and the prophets to warn them. Let them do it. But if one would come from the dead, they would believe. Let us consider that. Let us be a witness. We could spend for just 30 seconds in hell, what a soul winner we would be, I believe. Amen. For whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Eternity is forever. If you're here a congregation today in this gathering and not sure of where you would spend eternity, you can take care of that here in just a few moments. Jesus came to seek and to save those that were lost. Eternity is forever. It is heaven or hell. Which choice will it be for you today? For those who don't trust Jesus, the Bible says that they are condemned already. In John 3:18, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. Because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Condemned already because they don't believe. They go to hell because they won't believe. Not today, preacher. Maybe some more convenient time. As I'm reading from Paul, and he went on many mission journeys, stood before kings, and would be before Felix. And he stirred Felix, I believe. But Felix said, maybe some more convenient time, I will call you back. Or King Agrippa, Paul, thou almost persuaded me to be a Christian. Amen. Almost persuaded is the old hymn. Almost persuaded but lost. To be almost is to be totally lost. Right. What will you do with Jesus today? Don't get it mixed up here of a head knowledge and a heart knowledge. The devil, man, we know who Jesus is right here. We're okay. But we don't have that relationship with him. Don't be a career Christian that you've been here since they had the ribbon cutting, but you're not saved. Man, my name is on this church roll. I've been baptized here. But there's no heart relationship. You don't have that pulse. You're flatlining. Better check yourself this morning. Be a great time to do it. Right. Amen. Paul tells us in our main text that every knee will bow and that every tongue will confess. Every person, every soul will be in heaven for just a split second. For a second, they will stand before the judgment seat of God. Open the record books. Is his name, is her name written in the Lamb's Book of Life? If not, I'm sorry. But depart from me, I never knew you. Dreaded words we hope that we never hear. Amen. I never knew you. You say, Shane, I'm too rotten to be saved. I'm too rotten to come to God. You don't know what I've done. I have hidden sins that other people don't know about. But God knows. God knows, friend, and you can come today. You can come at a time the devil tells you you're too nasty to get saved. Man, we're having a good time over here. And it seems, as I tell people at Yellow Creek, the devil's got it laid out. Tuesday night's taco night. Wednesday night, we're going to have a ball game. We can't come to church. We got to do this. He's got a title for everything. Thursday. And Lord, that lake looks pretty. That sun, it's going to be 75 today. I ain't had to boat out in 2 weeks. Man, Brother Kyle ain't there today. I got some guy from across the river, some country-speaking fella coming. Maybe I'll Facebook in on him and hope to set the hook. The devil's got it figured out. Or maybe he says, brother or sister, you need to be saved. That's a good thing, but just not today. Maybe another convenient time, something you need to do. Every person that has passed laced up their shoes for the last time. Leave their house, not planning on dying. Let us consider, life is but a vapor. A person must acknowledge that they have sinned and come to God with a repentant heart. Upon salvation, the Holy Spirit comes to dwell within you, to be born again. As Nicodemus was there with Jesus, and he would tell him, Nicodemus, you must be born again. And an old man scratching his gray beard, how can I enter into my mother's womb a second time? He said, no, Nick, you'll become a new creature in Christ, is what the Word tells us. And the old man is dead, as Paul said. He's not talking about his great-granddaddy or his great-uncle or his neighbor that he knew. He's talking about the old man. We still have on our flesh, and you're going to sin and you're going to stumble along your journey. But Paul is talking about the old man is dead. I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus. I encourage you to trust him today with a friend that sticks closer than a brother. It's a hymn that you know what a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. I'll ask our musicians to come forward as I'm going to try to land the plane real close on time. Friend, if you're lost here this morning, it's not very hard. I keep in my wallet a little card. The ABCs of salvation. I know all of you, big to littles, can probably remember the ABCs. A is admit that you're a sinner. Jesus didn't want it to be difficult. The thief on the cross, he didn't go through a 10-week program on how to be saved. Amen. Amen. Today you will be with me in my kingdom. A is admit that you're a sinner. You must realize that and know that you've sinned. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And B is believe, John 3:16, we went over that, the free gift. C is confess, Jesus is Lord and Savior of your life. You can play softly if you like, brother. In the old time way. Amen. Romans 10:9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shall believe in thine heart, again from here to there, that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Yes. You would bow your head with me this morning. In the old time way, if the Holy Ghost is poking at your heart this morning, be a short invitation, please, no one looking around. This morning, if the Holy Spirit is convicting you that you're lost and you need to be saved, lost person, I would like to lead you in a simple prayer. It's not written in the Bible. You can say it in your own words. It's just a way for you to communicate to God. Say it aloud or say it in your heart. Dear Jesus, this is the sinner's prayer. Dear Jesus, I admit that I'm a sinner. I believe that you died for my sins. I confess you as Lord and Savior of my life, and I repent of my sins. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus, and make me a new person. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. If you would, keep your eyes down, head down, eyes closed. Friend, if you prayed that prayer today, you said, Shane, I would love to trust Jesus today. I'm making my decision of what to do with Jesus today. As Pilate asked that angry crowd, would you simply raise your hand if you would like to trust Jesus to save you from your sins? Simply raise your hand. You may look up now. In just a moment, we're going to sing our brother's song of invitation. If you didn't raise your hand and felt you ought to come this morning, I'll be here with you. So please come. This is the other part. Everything that Jesus did was public. He said, if you would be ashamed of me, I'll be ashamed of you before my Father. So this is your part of courage, friend, if you raised your hand. Only you, God, and myself know it. Please have the courage to step and come this morning. I'd like to pray with you, share some things with you. We'll get you set up on your road as a Christian. The altar is open here. If you need to come and pray for a loved one, just rejoice this morning, whatever's on your heart. If you're backslidden, if you are a Christian, Shane, I've fallen away. Slowly drifting farther from the shore, as another old hymn was. I've hardened my heart. Come this morning. Make a rededication for Jesus Christ. If you want to join this beautiful church, or be baptized. I know we would all celebrate with you. Your friends now. Come stand and let us sing a hymn, and I'll be here in the front with the microphone off between me and you. We'll stand and sing, brother, if you have a song, a hymn of invitation. What to do with Jesus? Make your decision this morning, church. Lost person, please come.
This is Pastor Cal again. I hope you enjoyed the message. If you'd like to talk to me or another pastor about some issue that you may have, a question you might have, you're free to call 931-332-6288.